What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action, crowdfunding your ideas. You're likely listening to this podcast because you want to take an action that will make your town stronger. Maybe you've gotten some ideas from our past episodes, whether it's starting a neighborhood association or documenting your city. Or even better, maybe you're sitting on this big, beautiful, original idea, but you're admittedly uncertain how to fund it. My dear friend, this is the episode for you. I'm chatting with Bill Houston. Bill, for over 15 years now, has been helping everyday folk just like you, community leaders, and nonprofits build an organic, ethical following and raise money to execute the big ideas they have to make their town stronger. As you likely know, it's easy to focus on that guap, you know, getting the money you need to build that parklet or to create that food co-op. However, as you'll learn in this episode, it all starts with telling your story and building your crowd, a skill you already have that, when executed correctly, will get people behind your ideas, no matter how big they are. Enjoy. Mr. Bill Houston, how are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful, wonderful. Absolutely glad to be on the show with you today.
Yeah, Bill, pumped to have you here. How's life in Louisville?
It's wonderful. It's cooled down a little bit, so it's not so hot out there, and it's really nice. Louisville is doing well. Glad to be here.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Bill, we got a great action to cover today, and that is crowdfunding your ideas. And I'm really excited about this action because it totally relates to a topic that we talk a lot about at Strongtowns, and that's strong citizens. These are the people who love where they live and want to do what they can to make their neighborhood stronger. And Bill, I think there's two different types of strong citizens. The first type, they're doing the everyday low lift stuff super well. You know, so they're picking up trash on their street, they're waving to their neighbors, they're dropping off that sweet cherry pie to the newcomers. But then the second type, Bill, and I think this is where the crowdfunding concept comes in, we have these big idea strong citizens where they see a void in their neighborhood and their thought is, I'm going to fill that void. If I live in a food desert, I'm going to open up that co-op. So, Bill, where does crowdfunding fit into the strong citizen with his or her big ideas?
With crowdfunding, one of the things that is most powerful, and I tell people this all the time, that there's one fundamental rule for crowdfunding. And that is that if you don't build a strong and engaged crowd, then you're not going to get the funding that you're looking for. So what crowdfunding does is it allows you to put these projects online, which increases the scalability of it. You can reach more people, but it's about engagement. It's about engaging people. It's about civic engagement. It's about being able to bring people together. And as you bring people together, you get to trade ideas and you get to source these ideas. And if you're a developer or you're bringing development to the table, what happens is you get buy-in from the community. And it's not us against them. It's all us doing to improve the community. Everybody's on the same page. And that's what's really important about crowdfunding, is you have to focus on building that crowd.
So how do we start to build that crowd, Bill? Say I'm here in Denton, Texas, okay? Our downtown is a bit of a food desert. You know, you got your bars, you got your fancy restaurants, but really no place to get the day's needs. If I want to start crowdfunding my idea, get some funding behind to maybe start a food co-op or to have like an every other day grocery cart, how do I start meeting my neighbors and building this crowd around my idea?
The way you begin to build a crowd is you start to look at what your social capital is, who your network is, and you start to engage your social capital from the inside out. When I run a crowdfunding campaign, the very first thing we do is we look at what I call our inner circle. Who are the people who are going to support me just because of who I am? They may or may not be interested in the project, but they believe in me. That's that first level that you really have to tap. And what you do is you engage those people with the hope that they're going to engage their networks. And this is really the beauty of it. As they engage their networks, what's going to happen is you're going to start to scale. It's going to start to grow. And then you're going to start to find the people that are really interested in that project. And you find the influencers. And those influencers, they buy into this project. And the numbers just continue to grow. And people start to have their input. They're interested in what's going on, how they can be a part of. People love to be a part of things. I think one of the major reasons why a lot of times when investors come into areas of town and they get a lot of pushback is because they've never asked the people who live in that community, what do you want? What do you need? What would make your community better? They're coming in and telling them. Crowdfunding allows you to build out based on the ideas of the crowd, of the people who are there. And I think that's what makes crowdfunding so much stronger of an economic development tool.
I love that, Bill. And I appreciate you comparing it to the outside developer. Because what I love most about this idea of crowdfunding our ideas, we're already living on the neighborhood level. We're already walking on the grounds. We're already seeing the voids. And once we see one and have an idea to fill it, what a great way just to tap into your existing network. Bill, how important is the story? I imagine that to really get people behind an idea, you have to have a great story about why your idea is worthwhile and worth your peers' money, really. So how do we tell a strong story to get people behind our idea?
Telling that strong story is not as difficult as you think when we're talking at the neighborhood level, at the community level, because the people who are there are living the story. They're living the narrative. There's a very similar narrative. If you think that there needs to be a bar, if you think there needs to be a restaurant, a place where you can go and sit down, and you live in that community, you live in that neighborhood, I guarantee you are not the only person who is unable to find a place close to home to go eat. What you have to do is you have to find those influencers, and you have to start to tap that social capital from the inside out. And as you do that, then you start to build that narrative. And that narrative will almost come naturally because you are at the community level. And it's not like I'm trying to press, a product out across the globe or across the United States. You know, the benefit here is everybody is at the table to make the community more effective and more efficient. So that narrative will almost direct itself because I am not the only person who realizes there are no sit-down restaurants, as an example, in our community.
So Bill, someone's listening to this podcast and they have the idea of building a parklet, a miniature park in their downtown where people can sit and hang out. They have a narrative in mind. They're starting to spread this message and build that crowd. What are some obstacles that you've noticed, Bill, as people are starting to build this crowd? If someone has an idea, what obstacles can they expect and how can they overcome them?
So a lot of the obstacles are going to be things that come from like the city. Areas that are already developed, you know, the cities always have plans that go out into the future, 20, 30 years. So maybe what it is that the community needs right now, maybe that park does not fit that narrative for the city. And this, again, is where the crowd is so important because the crowd investing is not all about the money. It's about building that crowd. Because now with that crowd, if the city has an obstacle or is an obstacle, then what we have the ability to do is to apply some political pressure to the city and say, this is what we want. This is what we need. And then we'll be able to find the funding. But we have to bring everybody together on the same plane, the same platform to say, this is what it is that we want. And this is how we want to get it built. When everybody comes together, then there is a power there. There is a synergy, and that's much easier to tell that narrative and to move that narrative forward because you can do much more with a collective fist than you can with a bunch of open fingers.
So someone's listening to this podcast. They have their idea, and they want to start building this crowd. Bill, what are the right technologies to use? I mean, whenever I think about crowdfunding, of course, I think about sites like GoFundMe and Kickstarter. Are these the right one to use, even if we're working on a neighborhood level, or is there more on the ground campaigning that can happen? What's the best way to go about building that crowd online?
It depends on what it is that you're doing. And when we're talking at the neighborhood or community level, what crowdfunding means to me is not necessarily a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo or a WeFunder or a Buy the Block. Those are simply the platforms where things happen. Depending on the type of crowdfunding you're doing, you know, as long as it doesn't have to do with selling securities, then you're open to crowdfund a lot of different ways. And it may make more sense, and it may be just as simple to build a website, a WordPress website, get a plugin, and start crowdfunding right there on your own website, because you're talking about doing something at the community level. So, you know, the real value in running a Kickstarter campaign is the fact that there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who have supported campaigns. So they'll be able to come and support my campaign. But if we're talking at the community level, we don't have to do that. We're talking about a very specific group of people, a very specific place-based location where we want to bring people on. And it's very important that we get the buy-in of as many people as we can. You know, I think about foundations. I think about, you know, other businesses and places that could potentially invest in that. But that's the wrong way to think about it. The right way to think about it is that whomever, let's say a bank president or the lending person at a foundation or grant person at a foundation, that person is in the community as well. So if you're able to reach them at the community and individual level, then they're going to take that back to work with them.
You mentioned influences earlier. In your experiences, are there like pioneers in this city that someone has an idea, good people to connect with, whether it's a local council person or maybe a city manager? Anyone on the city level that's good to connect with once you have an idea?
Oh, absolutely. There are absolutely people in the community who are influencers. You know, they're the people who are going to, the people are going to listen to those people. They're going to listen to their ideas. So it's very important early on to connect with those influencers. But once you connect with those influencers, what is important is that you are able to tell a story, that your narrative is powerful enough to get those influencers to become brand advocates. It's great to have an influencer, but those influencers have to be pushing forward whatever it is that the community wants to get done. If it's a new place for people to sit down or to have a restaurant, then, you know, those influencers need to become brand advocates for that restaurant or, you know, food co-ops. You know, in a lot of inner cities, what you find are those food deserts. So, you know, you have to be able to tell that narrative of how this is going to improve the life of everybody in the community, because everybody may have a different perspective of how it's going to improve their life, make their life more effective and efficient. You have to be able to tell that narrative, and those different influencers may be able to tell their narrative from different perspectives. And that's where the real power comes.
So Bill, we know we need to build a crowd. Now let's segue into finances. For someone who's never pursued a big idea like this, how do you get started figuring out how much stuff costs? I recall before I joined Strongtowns, I opened up a small corner store here in downtown Denton. And I was like, oh, you know, it'll be about $20,000 of startup costs. No biggie. But no, I mean, end up being double. So do you have any strategies for the person with the idea, how they can kind of gauge the financial forecast of their pursuit?
I do indeed. And it's through research, and more research, you know, really doing your due diligence. You know, one of the great things about this time that we are living in is that every piece of information known to man can be located on the internet. So yeah, you definitely want to do your due diligence. You want to have a strong strategic plan, and you want to have that plan that is definitely based on data points, you know, where you found those data points, and be able to make sure those data points fit where you're looking. Here in Louisville, there is there's an organization called One West. And a couple years ago, they did a study, and, you know, they went out door to door meeting people, talking to people about what they needed. And then they took that data and they put it into a report. So when I talk about the things that are needed in our community, you know, that was information that was retrieved. It was primary information that was retrieved from people in the community, and then they compiled that data. So again, those are things that you can do in a small community. If you're talking about a neighborhood or a community where you're actually going out and reaching the people that live there, you can ask them. You know, you can use a lot of primary sources. You know, maybe you start that process with an online survey on a Facebook page or something, and then you start to ask people. And as people give you that input, you put that information down, And then you go find the pricing. You know, what does this look like? How much does this cost? All that information is available. It's just about going out, really finding that information, putting it together in a really good strategic plan.
Bill, how important are incentives? I think about some of the projects that I've backed in the past, and I'll say, hey, give $5 and we'll give you a sticker. Give $10 and we'll put you in the credits of our film. Are these incentives necessary on a community level? If so, why? And if not, what are your thoughts?
No, I wouldn't think that they would be necessary, because what we're looking at is we're looking at the value that this is going to bring to the entire community where everybody lives. And if I were going to give incentives, which I don't think are necessary, but if I were going to provide incentives, they would be incentives to help drive that business. Maybe if you come to a restaurant or a food store or co-op, you know, a certain amount of times, then there's a bonus in that for you. And maybe you get a discount off of something. I don't think they're necessary, because this is something that benefits the entire community. This is about something that's civic. So.
And Bill, this is a great segue into what happens once we get that guap, we get that money. Because I imagine that pursuit to engage the crowd doesn't end there. It doesn't end once we meet our goal and open up that food co-op. Bill, in your experience, how do we continue to foster our relationship with the crowd?
Once you have the crowd, once you have built that trust, that transparency, that level, and you have the money, when you get people to part with their money, there is certainly a level of trust that has to be there, and it has to be driven by transparency. The one thing that I always tell people is never let that crowd go. You have spent so much time and energy and sometimes money building that crowd. Never let that crowd go. Always continue to be engaged with that crowd. There are lots of ways to engage with that crowd. You know, one way certainly is, via email, on social media. A lot of times what I find people will do with social media is they'll use it as a megaphone to blast out a message. But, you know, here's something that I say to people all the time. It may help to be social on social media. Really build community. Building community around that crowd, around that project, is something that's really powerful, because there's always going to be something else that the community is going to need. And if you already have that crowd built and you continue to engage them over time, it is going to be much simpler to move on to the next project if needed.
So, Bill, someone's listening to this podcast and they want to start implementing their idea and getting people behind it. What's the one thing that they can do tomorrow to start building that crowd?
I would say there would be three things that are very important, but the number one thing that someone would absolutely need to do is they would need to have an idea, and that idea has to be something that is sellable to the community. It has to be something that the community is going to be able to buy into. I know I've continued to use, the food co-op and the restaurants, because those are things that everyone in the community is going to get a value from, a benefit from that. So that is really important that be the first step. Is it something that everybody in the community is going to be able to use? And then that next step is to be able to reach out to the community, especially the influencers, and start to tell them about your narrative and be open to getting feedback. Another very valuable part of the crowd is that you can get feedback and input from the crowd. And you don't have to know everything. You don't have to have all the ideas. People want to be a part of things, so people will come on to that. Come on to your idea. They'll start to work with you. You know, maybe there are some pivots that happen. Maybe the narrative changes, but everybody's working in the same direction. And the last thing is to really be able and willing to implement. You have to have action and more action and more action after that. A lot of people talk, but in this world of crowdfunding and crowd investing, once you get people talking about your idea, then you have to start to implement that.
Another thing I love so much about crowdfunding is that it gives the people who choose to donate a sense of ownership of their city as well. A couple episodes ago, we had Melody Warnick on the podcast. She's an expert on teaching people how to love where they live. And her biggest piece of advice for people to learn how to love where they live was just to get involved, to show up, to give your money to something. So for people who are listening, who have a big idea and want to make it happen, you're not only filling a void where you live, but you're also helping your neighbors love where they live more. And that's such a wonderful message, Bill. And I appreciate you helping us figure it out. It's good stuff.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity to be on to share my experiences with the people out there.
So Bill, final question, and this is one that we wrap up every episode with. Bill, how does this particular action, crowdfunding our ideas, make our town stronger?
I think that the Jobs Act of 2012 really, really created a paradigm shift, and it gave the power back to the people in the community. If people take advantage of it, we come together as a crowd and, like you say, really love the place where we live and start to come up with ideas, work with people who have ideas, and implement these ideas through crowdfunding and through this legislation. There's always the talk about the democratization of capital. And I think that is really powerful, is because when the capital comes from the community, then the power is in the community. It's not with the bank or it's not with the developers, but it is with the people who truly love the community they live in.
Beautiful. Well, Bill, I appreciate you sharing your wisdom with us. It's awesome stuff, and I know the listeners are inspired as well. Bill, if anyone wants to connect with you, learn more about all the great work you're doing in Louisville and beyond, where can people find you online?
They can find me at wecycle.biz. That's WECYCL.biz. That's our website. That's also our Facebook and Twitter accounts. And also my personal Twitter account is Our Crowd Rocks.
Well, Bill, thank you again for sharing your wisdom, and we will talk very soon.
All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too, Bill. Talk soon. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.